Blue jays figured prominently in Erickson family life after I started rehabbing. The most memorable experiences happened in 1991, the summer some Cloquet people brought me four young nestlings after the branch with their nest crashed to the ground in a thunderstorm. The fifth nestling had died in the crash. My kids helped me care for them from the start, and when they fledged and we started letting them spend the day outside, the little birds would fly up to the kids as much as me to be fed. Our kids' friends spent a lot of time at our house. We ran a pretty laid-back, friendly household, and you never knew what you would find when you came in, though all the kids in the neighborhood knew to be careful opening the door and looking for any birds underfoot. The little jays enjoyed the hustle and bustle. That was the summer we were putting an addition on our house. During the time the construction workers were excavating the foundation, the little guys could have gotten into a lot of trouble, so I kept them indoors. One morning I had to run some errands, so I left the four little fledglings in the back room we were using as a playroom. When I returned and opened the door, the four little blue jays were sitting shoulder to shoulder on the windowsill, watching the excavator's shovel moving back and forth, digging and dumping. All four little heads moved in perfect synchrony, back and forth, just like the stereotype of people watching a tennis match. The construction workers were charmed. Our golden retriever, Bunter, followed me everywhere, and once during that construction chaos, I was so intent on getting out the door of the playroom without the fledglings following me that I accidentally closed the door on Bunter, too. I love telling little kids about this, reminding them that golden retrievers are hunting dogs. Bird hunting dogs. And it was a bloody sight when I returned. Two of the little jays were huddled in a feathery mass, sound asleep. The one I called Jake was sitting on Bunter's back, hacking into the poor dog like a woodpecker, a bit of blood dripping from the tip of his beak. And the one I called Sneakers was sitting on Bunter's snout, leaning over, probing Bunter's nostrils with the tip of her beak. Bunter stood there, tail down, head bowed, looking cosmically guilty, as if examining her conscience, trying to think of what mortal sin she'd committed that had consigned her to this hell. It never in a million years would have occurred to her to blame the real guilty party, me, and she didn't hold it against the birds either. Whenever she saw a hungry little blue jay, she'd run and get me, as anxious as Lassie if Timmy fell down the well. Every afternoon we had story time in the living room and the blue jays napped, three of the babies snuggled together. The fourth always stuck to the humans. When we didn't feel like having paper towels on our laps, that one would snuggle up to our shoes, so we called her Sneakers. I always wondered if she hadn't looked at our house, safe from rain, wind, and predators, compared it to the nest that had crashed in the storm, and shifted her loyalty to humans. Outdoors, the little birds were wonderful to watch. When one preened, one or two others watched every little movement. When one sampled a new insect or berry, the others paid attention. Blue jays don't learn by experience only. They apparently also learn by the experiences of others. Little by little, they grew more independent and came less often for feedings. Soon after they started staying outside at night, they stopped coming around altogether. Several months later, the one I called Jake showed up at our window feeder one morning and tapped, so I let him in the house. He flew instantly to the spot where I'd always kept a dish of food items for the babies, so I put some food there for him. He also got a drink out of Bunter's water bowl. After pigging out, Jake flew to the high shelf in the living room where the babies had often napped, tucked his beak in his back feathers, and fell sound asleep. and slept and slept. I don't remember exactly how long he was conked out, but it was at least a couple of hours. I was scared that he was sick, but suddenly he woke up, flew back to his food dish and ate a bit more, got another drink, and was ready to face the world again. He flew to the dining room windowsill and waited. When I cranked it open, off he flew, never to return. I've often wondered what led Jake to come home just that one time. He was obviously thriving out there. His feathers were gorgeous, and when he alighted on my hand, his weight seemed perfect. To survive in the natural world, blue jays must be ever vigilant. Jake had obviously dealt successfully with the danger so far. Maybe he just needed a little break. Whatever the reason, I was thrilled to see him again, as were my kids. Baby birds of every species have high mortality. That's why pairs of blue jays virtually always produce 4 or 5 eggs each year while their population stays stable. It's as scary sending a baby bird off on its own as it is watching your 16-year-old drive off with their brand new driver's license. I think my children were a little more understanding of Russ and me when we were overprotective because they knew what it was like to want to give a sweet, dependent creature its freedom, even as you want to protect it from everything bad that could possibly happen. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.